Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I actually preached this message. A few people heard me. A different version of the message, actually. I'm going to dwell on a little bit, slightly different spot. Some of our folks were at the meeting I preached at the other Friday night. But I just felt impressed to make use of it. Going to dwell a little longer on another portion of it. John chapter 21. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for our visitors being here. And if you don't have a regular place to call home, I know a real nice place out on Carlisle Road. And the folks are really nice. They'd love to have you come back and see whatever we can do to help you out. John chapter 21, verse number 1. And he, Jesus, I'm looking the wrong one there. I'm looking at Luke. No wonder it didn't sound right. Look at that. There we go. After these things. All right, what things? Well, Jesus has risen from the dead. And he appears to his disciples. He appears to Thomas and so forth. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Now, by the way, you often see it on the maps, the Sea of Galilee. Well, Tiberias is on one side, Gennesaret's on one side, and the Galilean area is kind of on the other side. And depending on where you're standing on shore, that's who claims that sea. Okay, so the Sea of Gennesaret is really the same body of water as the Sea of Galilee with the Sea of Tiberias. It's just that they couldn't see very far across the other river, and so they've just claimed it all as theirs. But anyway, so he's out there, same general area where he actually met the disciples. Verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, means a twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth. And entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, of course, Jesus has risen from the grave. He's about ready to ascend, and everything is in an uproar. Everything's in up in the air where your life has been. And so Peter says, I think I'm going to go fishing. And a bunch of guys said, well, you know what, let's go with you. And they got out there, and they're out there all night. They tried, because when you would fish at night, and they caught nothing. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Look at chapter 21, look at verse 15. Now, of course, we'll talk about the passage here and how they see him along the shore, and Jesus helps them catch some fish, and they have breakfast together. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. We're going to have a word of prayer here. I'm going to talk this morning on this little phrase, do you like me? Do you like me? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for each one you've brought our way here this morning. Again, Lord, I can't speak to every need here, but maybe it was a song, encouragement, a handshake from somebody. Maybe something we've read here we'll go over. Maybe something I'll preach. But Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move in the heart of each one. Give every single one something that need today in their heart. Whether they know they need it for the day or for the next week coming up, I don't know. But Lord, give them something that they need. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to move and give the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. We're the hands, the feet of Christ, the mouth of Christ. And we're the ones that are supposed to be making a significant difference in our community. And if we expect to make a significant difference, we're going to have to allow God to use us to change the hearts of our community, to change the hearts of people. Listen, we're all sinners. And where there's sin, there's sin. Where there's sinners, there's sin. There's problems. There's issues. There's hurt. And Lord, that never intended us to actually live that way. There are the ones that are adults whom we can reach and possibly head off some immediate issues and save some from hell. And if we're really going to make a more lasting difference, we're going to have to reach children. Now, we need to be looking after our own children. We cannot just assume that they will understand the Word of God. We need to be feeding them the Word of God consistently and clearly. And I want to encourage parents to have their children under the hearing of the Word of God as often as possible. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. I'm encouraged. The groups are kind of growing a little bit. We need to be doing that. We also need to be reaching into the community to make a difference in society as a whole. We are, but we can do more. We can at least expand what we're doing. We run buses. We have Lighthouse Kids Club and Kinder Club and Youth Ablaze for the teens, which are growing. That's a wonderful thing. We have folks who generously give of their time for the JIM, Jesus and Me afternoon program. We have folks who go out visiting every week. We have those that hand out tracts on a consistent basis. Lighthouse Christian School has already made some significant difference in the lives of local children. We've seen a steady stream of salvations and, again, a baptism this morning. Now, of course, they were coming to church already, but, you know, it makes a difference. Long-term difference. The Lord sees the need for us to have an effective ministry. And Jesus has left us with a charge. He says, feed my little ones. Feed my tender ones. Feed my lambs. The lambs is a little word in the Strong's Concordance is lambkins. I mean, just one of these little ones you carry around, you know, almost as a pet. He says, they're easily hurt or injured or led astray. We need to feed them. He says, feed them, pasture them, keep them, protect them, guard them, keep the wolf away from them. We have a job to do to make a difference in the lives of the children, the people, of course, and the others in our area. Jesus said in Matthew 18, he said, and Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because offenses come. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense come. A little bit later it says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Look down on them. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountain and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more for that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, I understand that there may be some circumstances that cause it so that we cannot get around the way we want to do, but there is something every one of us that can do. We just need to find it, and if we surrender and search it with all our hearts, I believe we will find it. Let me get a couple thoughts here real quickly, beginning, want to dwell a little bit apart at the end of the passage. The thought, God can't use me. God can't use me. Sometimes I think many of us think sometimes we're just a waste of breath. That there's something in our past, something that we've done, that we can't be used. See, in John 21:2, in your passage there in front of you, it says, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately that they might, and that night they caught nothing. Now I want you to imagine what Peter was going through Peter's head. Now we have seen Jesus alive, and that is all well and good for him, but what about me, Peter is saying. You know this. You may know the story, but and we'll talk about it a little bit here. But he left his job to follow Jesus. He left all at the Sea of Galilee, Gennesaret, and he walked off with Jesus. He left the fishing boats and everything. He left his job, and he went out after Jesus for 3.5 years. Now, 3.5 years are over, and now Jesus is going away. Now what? I left my job and followed Jesus. Now everything is different than what I envisioned. Even if I could have been used, watch this. I quit my job the other night when I denied Jesus when he had been arrested. Many a person has looked at their past, and Satan has whispered in their ear, "You little ungrateful sinner. It's all over for you. God doesn't want you anymore. You're a tainted soul." Peter forgot he needed to be reminded of the empty, fruitless life he had before he left all to follow Jesus. There's been times when in a ministry, not since I've been here, but there was times when I was in the ministry for some years before I got here, and assistant pastor, you know what, and the fine print at the bottom of the contract for assistant pastor is whatever else the pastor deems necessary. You know, and so you're just working all the time. Your time's not your own. And there's some times I told Janet, I said, "I just wish I could just have a normal job." And she looked at me and she said, "You would never be happy." And that's true. And same thing, God had called Peter. And for a moment he said, "You know, I just need to go back and get a normal job." But it wasn't going to work. How many people sit on the sidelines and watch God use others to make a difference in the lives of others for Christ because they think they could never be used of God to just sit there? I mentioned the other day, I was 30 years old before I went back to seminary to be a pastor. Why? I didn't think God could use me. Then I found out, it says that he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and figured I was a good candidate. God gets more glory when he doesn't have much to work with. Second thought. Jesus is going to show himself again. Jesus is going to show himself again. He's not done with you. In chapter 21, verse number 1, go back one verse. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." You see, the first time, the events we're going to see, the first time this happened was near the Lake of Gennesaret, same body of water. In Luke 5, 3 through 11, it says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust," this was 3.5 years ago, "and asked him to go out, thrust out the boat, so he could preach. And once he got finished preaching, he says, 'I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Peter, of course, always knew more than God, said, listen, we've been out here all night. We haven't caught a thing. But you know what? If you want me to do that, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken." He realized what Jesus had done. But he also realized that he was a sinner. But wait a minute. Jesus wasn't done with that much. He wasn't there to do a magic trick. "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" From henceforth. From now on. Well, did Jesus make a mistake? No, Jesus knew exactly who Peter was. And Jesus knew that he was going to find himself at the lake another time. "And they brought their ships to land and forsook all and followed him." See, Peter needed to remember that Jesus had blessed him and promised to use him even though he was a sinful man. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He said, you're going to be able to catch fish. Forget about that. Number three, thought. Jesus is the one that makes things happen anyway. Jesus is the one who makes things happen anyway. We are concerned that we can't do it. Well, what can I do? Well, that's right. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, now we're back 3.5 years later where we started, back on the sea at near Tiberias, and Peter has gone fishing with all his guys. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you had any meat? They answered him, No. Yeah, that's right, because without me you can do nothing. Jesus knew they were going to come up dry. See, we are lived by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus is thinking, you may not have anything to feed on, but I do. Watch me. We have nothing to feed others with, but God does. So Jesus goes ahead and he proves his point. Well, maybe you can't find fish, but I can. You see, if we commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And he said, verse 6, then he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37:5. Look at verse 7. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved, saith, that was John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Peter, it's Jesus. We've been here before. Deja vu all over again. You remember 3.5 years ago when we were all there, we didn't know who the guy was. And he told us to go out there, and we said we had fished all night, couldn't find anything. And then we cast our net over there, and we had so much the net break. He says, it's all doing the same thing. Is it coming back to me? I remember when he called us the first time. He said, I need you. I want you. Basically, he said, I love you. So we've been here before. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. That doesn't mean he was totally naked. I mean, he was probably in his underclothing. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, just about a football field away, dragging the net with fishes. And Jesus makes that which appears to be impossible, possible. Do you think it is impossible for you to do anything for the Lord? Maybe you think you're too old now and your useful days are over. Ask Elizabeth and Zacharias. Ask Simeon and Anna. You point out Jesus. Sometimes that's our job. Point out Jesus. And we give a fourth thought. We bring the fruits that Jesus helped us get to Jesus, and he finishes the product. We bring the fruits that Jesus helped us get to Jesus, and he finishes the product. Kind of win them, wet them, and wise them up. Verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. See, what we cannot do on our own, the Lord can do easily. He's already done it. Got any fish? By the way, I got breakfast ready over here. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land and of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. None was lost. He brought them to Christ. By the way, sometimes our converts are only partially cooked. In fact, most times our converts are only partially cooked. We need to get them saved and then bring them to Jesus to finish the job as well. He's the one that saved them in the first place. And he's the one who's going to change them. He's the one who's going to help them in their heart. He knows how to do it. He's been doing this for a long time already. By the way, do you give your kids to Jesus? Or do you think that what you do for them is good enough? Give your kids to Christ. You pray for them. Give them to hearing the Word of God all the time. Verse 12. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And they said, when that word dine there means the principal meal of the day. Now, some places you call the middle of the day dinner, and some people call it lunch. And some people call the third meal of the day the dinner, and some people call it supper. But whatever you call it, the main meal of the day, he said, come and dine. Come and take. Because Jesus satisfies the soul. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. When Jesus is working, you're going to know it. I believe it. When Jesus is working, you're going to know. Now, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now, watch me. While we are feeding others, Jesus is feeding us. Yes, they did a lot of work to bring the fish to Jesus, but in the meantime, we are being fed by the Lord and also having sweet fellowship with him. Just hang tight with me. You'll catch where I'm going. Well, that's all just fine for those that are favorites of the Lord, but I'm just an average person with sin in my past, and right now I'm not really in the Lord's work at all because I dropped out. Sounds like Peter. So how did the Lord answer those questions with Peter? Now here's the main thought of my message. It's number 5 if you were counting numbers. It's kind of number 1. God doesn't throw anyone away. The first part, he said, there is a job to do. Whatever that job may be, it may be to make a difference in our community, to work in the church, and maybe it's in the context of our family, whatever it may be, I don't know. But God doesn't throw anybody away. There's another life. God's ready to use you. You may be 15, you may be 95. But God doesn't throw anybody away. You say, well, that's just fine for the disciples. They were men of God. God can use them, but I've not always been real faithful. The Lord can't use me. Look at verse 15. I love this passage. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? When they had dined, once Jesus, well, look, they had all scattered. When Jesus was arrested, the disciples scattered. And yet, there's Jesus waiting on the shore with breakfast ready, welcoming them to breakfast. When they had dined, once Jesus had shown them he still cares about them, he still considers them to be friends, that he can satisfy them, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Peter. Now why didn't he call him Peter? So for now on you should be called Peter. Why did he call him Simon Peter? You know what Jesus is saying? I remember who you were when I found you. I remember who you were when I found you the first time. Peter. I know who you were when you were serving next to me. Peter. And then he says, Simon, son of Jonas, says, I know you are just a man named after a man that was named after a wishy-washy prophet. Jonah. You got that past. You're human. You messed up. I know you did. Everybody knows you did. I know you did. You know you did, but they did too. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Was there a question of his love? Yeah. Why is he asking Peter? Because Peter was so outspoken. Peter had heard that what he had Peter heard out of his own mouth what he had promised Jesus and how badly he had failed, especially when Jesus met his eyes with him at the third denial, Luke 22, where Jesus' eyes met right after he was about ready to be hauled off to be crucified. his eyes met with Peter. Imagine. Matthew 26 says this, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Mark 14 says it this way, Jesus said unto him, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. And likewise also said they all. Luke 22 says it this way. The Lord said, Simon, Simon. That's a whole other message right there. He's living as old Peter, not new Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The Lord has a plan for us, even though he knows we're going to fail him along the way. Now listen to me. The Lord has a plan. He has something worked out, even though we have failed him along the way. Maybe we did open mouth and switch feet a few times. But he says, I love you. And so Peter had claimed great love for Jesus and said he would die for him. Now listen, did Peter really love Jesus more than the others? Probably not, even though he said he did. Probably not. He was just noisy about it. Did he love Jesus as much as the others? Possibly. He did at least follow behind Jesus with John after the arrest when all the others just scattered. Did Peter believe in Jesus as much as the others? Probably. Maybe more. He was the only one that got out of the boat to walk on water. The rest of the boys in there said, I'm not going out there. Are you crazy? Did Peter love the Lord as much as he should? No. But no one does. Did Peter love the Lord enough to be used of God? Apparently so. Now let me say this. When I say love enough for God to use you, let me put it on another hand here. For God to do it, make a difference in your life. Change who we are. Make us into the image of Christ. Become what we're supposed to be. To save our marriages. To save our families. Now listen. Number six. Do you like me? Jesus says to Peter, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And his response was, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Now here's what you need to understand. Most of you probably have heard this before, but I want you to hear it. Jesus says to Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with an unconditional, unending, with no circumstance making a difference, a love that cannot be stopped? Do you love me with a godly love? And Peter says, I'm really fond of you, Jesus. And he says, feed my lambs. For the word love there is phileo, brotherly love. I love you. I really, really, you know, I just like being around you. You're real important to me. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, thou knowest that I really like you a lot. Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, agape. Wait, I'm sorry. That's what was wrong. He didn't say it that time. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, you're really fond of me, aren't you? He used the same word that Peter had used. You're really fond of me. And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, you're very fond of me, aren't you? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am really fond of you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I think Peter felt that he could not claim love for Jesus because he knew he had failed him. And I think Peter was finally being honest and seeing himself as the sinner he really is and seeing his love at the level that it really was. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we see our sins and imperfections. I think he saw Jesus almost in another light than he had ever seen before. Well, I know Jesus loved me before, but I was a pretty good guy. But I really messed it up this time. I blew it. He's not going to want me. He's not going to want me. See, we know that our love for the Lord is not perfect, but neither can it be. Then how can I be used to be an effective servant of the Lord? How can I expect God to do anything great in my life? How can I expect God to pull my feet out of the miry clay? How can I expect God to do anything and make my life what it's supposed to be, and then me be able to help somebody else? See, God doesn't throw sinners away. You may run away. But if you run away, it was your choice. God doesn't throw sinners away. God doesn't throw deserters away. Peter ran away, figuring he was no longer useful to the Lord. You know what, guys? I think let's just go fishing. Let's just go fishing. This is probably it. Let's just go fishing. All right, Peter, we'll go with you. And God doesn't throw the little ones away. Jesus was looking for someone to get the little ones, feed my lambs. And who better will be able to empathize with the shortcomings of others than Peter? Listen, you read his books in here, it's a different man. Now, God says, I'll tell you what I want you to do. You like me? Serve me. I'm serious. We said. But watch, something happens. If we love the Lord, we will serve the Lord. If we serve the Lord, we will grow in our love for the Lord. Look what it says in verse 18. He has just got finished saying, now, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. I know you just like, okay, you like me, okay? You like me, feed my sheep. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, or truly, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He said, you know what, Peter, you said way back, that you love me enough to die for me. Go to death. Go to prison for me. And you kind of learned the hard way that wasn't true. You like me a lot. That love thing is kind of questionable. But I said, I want to tell you something, Peter. I know when you were young, you could just go wherever you wanted. That's the way you lived your life. That's the way you lived your life. But there's going to come a time in your old age where they're going to take you to a place you don't want to go. And they're going to dress you in things you don't want to be dressed in. And you're going to be able to take it. You know why? Because as you feed my sheep, Peter, your love for me is going to grow. And my grace in you is going to grow. And there's going to be things that's going to happen in your life down the road that you couldn't hardly imagine now. But you're going to be able to stand and take it. Because you will be ready. Listen, some people say, well, I'm going to wait till everything's perfect before I start doing things for the Lord. That's wrong. It's not going to happen. Listen, because we see when God asks you to serve and you go the other way, He's in one direction, you're another. How are you going to learn to love the one if you don't walk with Him? Spend time with Him. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Living as He lives. Serving where He serves. Getting a heart that He has. He says, I'll no longer call you my servants, but I'll call you my friends. If we get in there and we decide we're going to serve Him. Say, well, I can't do this. Maybe you can't yet. Maybe there are some things that down the road, be scared to death. I believe that's why God doesn't give us all His will all in one shot. We'd be scared to death. We'd go run and hide. We'd pull the covers up. Turn off the lights. But God will give you grace for what you need when you need it. If you're spending time with Him. If you're already serving Him. He says, if you like me, Peter, feed my sheep. Serve me. He says, now, wait a minute. You couldn't stand before. You did deny me. But there will be a day when you will be able to stand. Having done all to stand, you'll stand. See, we can't help but to love the Lord the more we serve the Lord, because we will be spending so much time with the Lord, we can't help but get to know the Lord. And the more we know Him, the more we love Him. And Peter's love was not what it should have been. But Jesus is telling him that if you stick with me, Peter, your love will become what it needs to be. And maybe you are not all in yet. Well, I probably shouldn't serve the Lord if I'm not sold out to the Lord, so I won't serve Him at all. Well, the Lord waited until His servants were perfect in heart and deed before He used them. He had nobody to use. Serve the Lord with what you have. And don't be concerned whether God seems to be asking too much from you or as compared to others. It's kind of interesting here because he knew what was happening is basically saying what kind of death he's going to die. Tradition says that Peter was crucified upside down. And sometimes we think, well, why do I have to be the one to make all the sacrifice? Look at verse 20. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple John, the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth? That was all part of it. That he said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not to him that he shall not die. But if he will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? John says, this is the disciple which testified these things. Wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now listen, don't look now at the sacrifice that you may have to make years down the road. You just follow the Lord here. And when you get down the road, he'll be there with you. The Lord has done so many things through his people. In fact, verse 25, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which they should be written, every one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. We are the body of Christ. Maybe we have failed sometimes over the years. Maybe we've denied the Lord sometimes. Maybe we've doubted whether the Lord could use us. Maybe we have publicly put our foot in our mouth and uncovered just how much hot air is in us. And maybe we've led others to go fishing. is there a desire to please the Lord? Well, go with that. Some of you have served at one time, but now you're just out making a living. We're just on the sidelines. Spend some time serving the Lord. You may find that there's a sweeter life as you serve alongside Jesus. He said, we need somebody to pasture the lambs. Jesus says, hey, you that are just out living life, you used to walk with me. You were used to change lives. And you came to a point of embarrassment, even denied knowing me. Yeah. Do you like me? Do you like me? Of course you do. Of course I like you. Feed my lambs. They need you. They're lost in the world. The world has led them to the edge of a cliff. They're caught in the briars of life, and they're being choked. Some are already wounded and bleeding. They're starving for truth, and it needs someone to shepherd them, or they may perish. God can use you. And the more you let Him use you, the sweeter it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your Word. Pray that it'll meet the needs of the hearts of our folks. Lord, I pray that You give us Your understanding. Thank You for these folks who are here this morning. Father, I pray that You'll speak right now. Most important part of the time is the invitation. Lord, we ask You to speak to our hearts. We ask. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.